Welcome to this edition of PowerPoint with Jack Graham. A little later in the program, we'll tell you how you can get Dr. Graham's message series, Invisible. But first, here's his message, Passionate, Prevailing Prayer.
Take your Bibles and turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11. And Jesus gives us an awesome lesson about prayer. Now, let me remind you, as we consider the great promises of God, the exceedingly precious promises of God, that prayer is not an option, it is a necessity. Sometimes we wonder, why would we pray if Jesus knows what he's going to do? He's promised to answer prayer. He knows our needs before we ask them. Why would we pray? Well, because he has commanded us to pray. And there is both a human responsibility along with God's responsibility in connecting us in prayer, conversing in prayer. And every Christian must learn to pray in order to experience communion with God and, yes, to receive from God all that God wants to give. Because God responds to prevailing and passionate prayer. Now, in the 11th chapter of Luke, Jesus gives us two lessons on prayer. One is a very elementary level, which is the outline of prayer that he gives us. You know it as the Lord's Prayer, or perhaps the model prayer, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. And that is a very basic structure of prayer. And we all ought to pray in this manner. It's very profound and yet simple. Simply profound, profoundly simple. This whole idea of praying the Jesus way. But then Jesus moves to a different level, a new level, really a higher level, because if the model prayer is about praying for ourselves, then the next lesson is a kind of graduate level of praying, which is praying for others. People who need the Lord, people who need our prayers. And so Jesus tells us a story. It's a parable, often described as a heavenly story with an earthly meaning. And the earthly meaning regards passionate, prevailing prayer. That promise. Look at verse 5. And he said to them, "Which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has arrived on a journey and I have nothing to set before him.' And he will answer from within, 'Do not bother me. The door is now shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened unto you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit who ask him?" Paul, who knew a great deal about prayer, said, "Pray without ceasing." Now, I take that to mean that prayer is to always be the focus of our lives. Prayer is to be the constant, passionate commitment of the believer. That in every day, in every way, we ought to pray. And so to pray without ceasing, there's one sense in that prayer is very natural, very normal. A child prays. A child cries out to God. And so I don't want just to lay another guilt trip on you about your prayer life, because most of us don't pray the way we ought to pray. But what I want to do is to encourage you to learn how to pray in this Jesus way and to pray with passion and prevailing power. And so Jesus tells us this story. And in it, he talks about this desperate need of prayer. Now, what is the desperate need of our day? It is for us to get God's provision for man's need. He tells this story of a man who comes at midnight, knocks on his neighbor's door, and says, "Give me 3 loaves of bread." His cupboard was bare. He had nothing to set before his friends. He was taken back, so he goes and asks his neighbor, desperate to provide for his friends. A man has come on his journey, verse 6, "I have nothing to set before him." His cupboard was bare. He was like old Mother Hubbard. He had nothing in his cupboard. So, because he had nothing to give, he was helpless. And so he went to a neighbor to ask. And Jesus uses this story to illustrate the fact that we also have failed in meeting the needs of a hungry world. May I remind you that we have nothing to set before a hungry world. And yet so often we're so proud, we're so self-sufficient, so prone to think that we can somehow meet the needs of the desperate needs of our days. The fact is that when you look at churches and congregations today, so often our cupboards are empty. We have nothing to set before a wanting yet willing world. And we need to remember that our plans, our programs, our schemes, and our dreams are empty without the power of God, without the power of prayer. We have nothing to set before the world. We are empty. But God wants to provide heavenly bread for us to give when we pray. And when we are energized by prayer, then we are able to meet those needs all around us. I love the definition of prayer, which says prayer is when we link our nothingness to God's almightiness. Our nothingness to God's almightiness. Jesus said in John chapter 15, without me you can do nothing. His cupboard was bare, and so is ours. If we're going to make a difference in the world, we have to learn this lesson of prayer. Spurgeon, the great British preacher, says prayer is the slender nerve that moves the omnipotence of God. So because of our failures, there's a desperate need for prayer. Also, because of our friends, perhaps we've forgotten the desperate need of men and women without Christ. Just how lost people are. Just how empty they are. This man had a friend come at midnight, and this friend needed this bread. Jesus spoke of lost humanity in Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovery of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. In this inaugural message of Jesus, when he's reading the scripture in his hometown synagogue, he's saying people are beggars, spiritually bankrupt without God. They are poor and brokenhearted. To heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives. They're bound in their sin and blind, recovery of sight to the blind. Jesus said, people need the Lord because they are bankrupt and broken and bound by their sin. How are we going to reach a lost world? One day Jesus cast out from a young man multiplied demons. The disciples had tried and tried and tried to do it themselves, but they couldn't. And when they asked Jesus, why could we not cast them out? He said, this kind comes only by prayer and fasting. In the light of the great need of man, the Lord must be amazed at our lack of prayer. No doubt when we get to heaven, we're going to be amazed at our prayerlessness. What did James tell us? You have not because you ask not. Nothing good, nothing great, nothing lasting, nothing holy can happen apart from believing prayer. All of us have friends that need Jesus, family members that need Jesus. How are we going to reach them? How are you going to reach that child that's walked away from God? How are you going to reach that next door neighbor for Christ? By praying. And praying again. You know, this is audacious prayer. This man came at midnight. And he had impudence. That means persistence. He kept coming. We must come boldly to the throne of grace. He asked for 3 loaves. It was a day's provision. He didn't ask for just a little bit. He asked for 3 loaves. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. The Bible says, open your mouth wide and I will fill it. You can't ask too much from God. Our God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory in Jesus Christ. Jeremiah said, "I, Lord God, behold, you've made heaven and earth, and by thy great power and stretched out thy arm, and nothing is too hard for you." John Newton, who wrote Amazing Grace, wrote these words, "Thou art coming to a king. Large petitions with thee bring, for his grace and power are such that none can ask too much. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Indeed, he will do great and mighty things which we can't even comprehend if we will simply ask." This is the desperate need of prayer. Our own failures. We're empty. We have nothing to set before a wanting and waiting world. Our own friends who need Christ, who are broken and bound, bankrupt in their sin. How are we going to reach them when we pray?
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham, and today's message, Passionate Prevailing Prayer. At this very moment, there is a spiritual battle all around us. That's why in this 11-message set, Invisible, Dr. Jack Graham pulls back the curtain on the spiritual reality you face each day. Dive into each message and discover the truth about your soul and what's waiting for you in heaven. You'll be given critical insight into how to live each and every day for the things that will truly last for eternity. So call now to request your copy of Invisible on CD or DVD when you give. And thank you for your generosity. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 313131. Text PowerPoint to 313131.
And don't forget to visit jackgraham.org, where you can shop our e-store, give a gift online, or sign up for Dr. Graham's free daily email devotional. Our website again is jackgraham.org. Now let's get back to today's message, Passionate Prevailing Prayer.
But then Jesus goes on to apply the lesson of prayer when he speaks of this descriptive nature of prayer. And he gives us three verbs. They're actually continuous action verbs. Ask, seek, and knock. Asking, seeking, and knocking. Literally, keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. And with this, we have the very basics of prayer, which is ask, A-S-K, ask, seek, knock. And that is it. Ultimately, prayer is asking. Prayer means asking specifically. In our parable, the man at midnight made a specific request. He said, "Give me three loaves." So much of our praying is so general, we don't know if God answers our prayers or not. Have you asked God for something so specific in your life that when he does it, you know he answered your prayer? I've had many answered prayers like that, when God simply responded to my request. Too often we pray these generalized, safe kind of prayers that we never know whether our prayers are doing any good or not. Jesus said, "Ask that you may receive." Prayer is life's limitless reach. All the resources of God are available to us in prayer. And if we could just realize how our Lord longs to answer our petitions, how much more would we pray? Praise the Lord, God answers prayer. God answers prayer. God answers prayer. Are you praying specifically? Make sure that your prayers are asking God to do something specific and powerful in your life. And then he talks about seeking, which is what I want to call perceiving prayer. Jesus uses a word here for prayer that means careful investigation, to seek diligently. And in prayer, we not only seek God's hand, but first we seek his face. Psalm 27:8, "When you said, 'Seek my face,' my heart said to you, 'Your face, Lord, I will seek.'" What if your children only asked you for things and never said, took time to say, "I love you," or to crawl up in your lap and to embrace you? Perceiving prayer means that rather than just running into God's presence with a shopping list, that we take time enough. You know, you can't really pray on the run. It's true that we ought to pray everywhere, but you won't pray everywhere until you pray somewhere. You won't pray all the time until you pray sometime. And rather than running into God's presence and saying something like, well, listen, Lord, your servant is speaking, we ought to pray, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And that's the seeking part of prayer. When we're seeking to know God's will, when we're asking God for His wisdom in a situation. David was a man after God's own heart. He knew God intimately. And he said in Psalm 63, verse 1, early I will seek you. In other words, first on our list should be seeking God. In prayer, we get to know God. We worship Him. We praise Him. We discover who He is and what He wants us to do. And we find out what God wants to accomplish in our lives. Years ago, I learned this very simple lesson about prayer. The prayer that starts in heaven gets to heaven. If I could just show you maybe a little chart. At the top is the throne of God. And God has something that He wants to accomplish on earth through you, through me. And so He sends down, when we pray, when we connect with God, He sends down the request to us. We hear from God. We listen to God. And something is on our heart, some prayer need, some prayer request, some person. And so God puts the request in our hearts. And then when we pray, we just simply close the circle. We close it back up. And the prayer that therefore starts in heaven ultimately gets to heaven. We pray it back by the Holy Spirit. The prayer that starts in heaven gets to heaven. Prayer is the Holy Spirit taking a desire from the heart of God and planting that desire in our hearts and then our praying it back to Him in the power of His Holy Spirit. I've said before many times, prayer is not changing God's mind, it is finding God's mind. Perceiving prayer. But then there's the knocking part. Ask, seek, and knock. Keep on knocking. Again, in our story that Jesus told us, the man just kept on knocking. He persisted in asking for prayer. He bruised his knuckles on that man's door at midnight. He kept on knocking. It was because of his impudence. Now, Jesus is not teaching here that we have to twist God's arm in order to get God to answer our prayers. In fact, it's been said, prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance, but laying hold of His highest willingness to bless us. So, this man didn't get his prayer answered because he was twisting someone's arm, but Jesus is teaching us the lesson of persistence in prayer. Persistence in prayer. Passionate, prevailing prayer. It is the kind of prayer that won't give up. It's the kind of prayer that Jacob prayed when he said, Lord, I'll not let you go unless you bless me. I know this. God does business with those who mean business with Him. We need to get rid of our half-hearted, lazy, lukewarm kind of praying and take hold of God when we pray and to keep on praying till the answer comes. Now, I know that sometimes we wonder about unanswered prayer. Why didn't God answer my prayer? I prayed, I asked, I sought, I knocked. Why didn't it happen? Well, sometimes it's because the answer is delayed. And we don't need to give up. Jesus said we ought always to pray and not to give up. Sometimes the answer is direct. I mean, it just happens. You know it happens. Sometimes the answer to prayer is delayed. Sometimes it is denied. You know, there are these answers to prayer. God says yes, God says no, God says wait, or God says maybe sometimes you got to be kidding on that one. How many times have we prayed for certain things to happen? God had a better plan. God had something bigger. God had something better in mind. And so we keep knocking until God shows the way. We pray with passion, with humility. We pray with a burden, and yes, at times with tears. There is no blessing without sacrifice. And Adoniram Judson, the great missionary, said it this way, there is no success without suffering. If you succeed without suffering, it means that someone suffered for you. If you suffer and do not succeed, it means that someone will suffer after you. But there will be no success without suffering. And there will be no answered prayer until we are willing to stay there and sacrifice in order to receive from God what He delights and desires to give. David said, God forbid that I should sacrifice unto the Lord that which cost me nothing. So make it your priority in life to develop the discipline and the determination to pray, to keep on praying. Our lives are so busy, we think, and we don't have time to pray. We're too busy not to pray. And if you think that the answer is never going to come and you're about to give up, remember these words of an old poem I found this week. When things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you're trudging seems all uphill, when the funds are low and the debts are high and you want to smile but you have to sigh, when care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't you quit. Life is tough with its twists and turns, as every one of us sometimes learns, and many a failure turns about when he might have won had he stuck it out. Don't give up. Though the pace seems slow, you may succeed with another blow. Success is failure turned inside out, the silver tin of the clouds of doubt, and you can never tell just how close you are. It may be near when it seems so far. So stick to the fight when your heart is hit. And it's when the things seem the worst that you must not quit. Don't you dare quit praying. Don't you dare give up. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. Prayer is not so much a burden to bear as it is a blessing to share. Make this your priority. While, as I've mentioned, we ought to learn how to pray everywhere we go about everything we see and do, schedule a time in your life for prayer. Have a quiet time every day. I believe preferable at the beginning of your day, before the day rushes in and the demands of the day rush in. And get up a little earlier and open your Bible and read God's Word and then pray. Ask and you will receive. That's the promise of God. The astounding, amazing promise of God. But he says one more thing. Jesus talks about the delightful or dynamic nearness of prayer. Verses 11 to 13. Look at those once again. I want us to read those again. What father among you is, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to ask him, to those who ask him? Now notice that prayer and the Holy Spirit are inseparably linked. Because the Holy Spirit in the Christian life is our prayer partner. Romans 8, verse 26, when we don't know how to pray as we ought in our weaknesses, he intercedes for us. The Holy Spirit comes alongside of us and prays with us and for us. We pray to the Father, through the Son, the Lord Jesus, in the Spirit. And so Jesus said, if you want the Holy Spirit to work in your life, if you want my power and my presence in your life, then pray. Pray. The Bible calls the Holy Spirit the Spirit of supplication. Paul speaks of praying in the Spirit. And so when we pray, the delightful nearness of God is present. The dynamic presence of God is real. And he delights to give good gifts to his children. The descriptive nature of prayer is asking, seeking, knocking, petitioning, perceiving, persisting. And the dynamic nearness of prayer is the very power and presence and provision of God when we ask.
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham, and today's message, passionate, prevailing prayer. Money, cars, houses, even careers, every single one of these trappings of success will one day fade away. In this 11-message series, Invisible, Dr. Jack Graham pulls back the curtain on the rich spiritual reality of the world around you and shows you how to win your spiritual battles and to live each day for what really matters. This insightful 11-message set is our special thanks for your gift today to help more people hear the love and truth of eternal life in Jesus Christ. So call today to get your copy of Invisible on CD or DVD when you give. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 313131. Text PowerPoint to 313131.
And don't forget to visit jackgraham.org, where you can shop our e-store, give a gift online, or sign up for Dr. Graham's free daily email devotional. Our website again is jackgraham.org. Pastor, what is your PowerPoint for today?
Not long ago, I heard about a young father who had a daughter with autism. And as the father of a small autistic child, this man had learned that his daughter, as a result of her condition, was easily distracted by the world around her. And as a result, it was rare for the 4-year-old little girl to respond to her daddy or even to look him directly in the eyes. But one day, out of the blue, this precious little girl stopped playing the game she was playing and climbed up in her daddy's lap. She then took his face in her hands, looked into his eyes, and said, "I love you, Daddy." And then she got down and continued to play. Now, when I heard that story, I realized that we are a lot like that little girl. We are so distracted by the world around us. We're so busy. We're so preoccupied that we rarely take time to stop what we're doing and just crawl up in our Heavenly Father's lap, look Him in the eyes, and tell Him how much we love Him. Yet, how much He yearns for us to turn our attention to Him. How He longs for us to spend time with Him. And it's not just so that He can answer our prayers, which He delights in doing, but it's also because He wants us to know Him and to spend time with Him and to grow in our faith. Perhaps God is showing you today that you've allowed busyness and the cares and concerns of your everyday life to distract you from spending time with Him. Maybe if you really thought about it, you can't even remember the last time you spent real time with God in prayer or just soaking up His Word or listening for His still, small voice. Do you have a quiet time? Do you spend time alone with God? Why don't you begin a daily time of spending alone time with Him in the Word and in prayer? God is your Father. Jesus is your Savior and Redeemer. He is good. He wants you to love Him, and He, I promise you, loves you more than you can possibly know. So crawl up in the Father's lap today. Do it again tomorrow, and be prepared to see your life changed in ways you can't even imagine.
And that is today's PowerPoint. Remember, when you give a gift to PowerPoint, we'll send you Dr. Graham's powerful message series, Invisible, as our thanks. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 313131. Text PowerPoint to 313131. And join us again next time as Dr. Graham brings a message about how you can achieve spiritual victory. That's next time on PowerPoint with Jack Graham.
PowerPoint with Jack Graham is sponsored by PowerPoint Ministries.